Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
My colleague and mentor, Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. China. Much in the news, the People's Republic of China. The trade wars, the tariff standoff, the roiled global markets, the anxiety, the unpredictability, all the big banks revising their expectation for the year. Based upon, well, in one instance, the imperturbable and non-transparent People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, and his leadership class, standing toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, calling the remarks by the White House jokes, traveling to Vietnam, Cambodia, and Malaysia to reassure partners that there's no reason to pay attention to that bully America, we're your big brother. All of that is part of the understanding that China is not only the rising power, but a peer of the United States of America, and what is to be done. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The myth of the PRC strongman. Where did it come from? What do we do about it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, largely it came from the propaganda machinery which developed during the Cold War and originating largely with the Soviet Union, with their international section or the old Comintern, which started to build up this whole myth of the inevitability of communism and so on, which was dealt a savage blow, of course, in 1990 with the collapse of the Soviet Union. But the PRC, the Communist Party of China, in any event, really have continued this thrust by largely controlling the media in many ways, and including the Western media, which a lot of which is bought off in various fashions, not necessarily with cash on the table, but with favors and the like. But the whole premise of that is one which is an artificial creation, an oversimplification of where things are going, using phrases like the world's second biggest economy or the inevitability of the rise of the PRC to global hegemony, which is the word they used. The reality is that the West itself, since World War I, World War II, have thrived and motivated their populations on the myth of a vast and overwhelming enemy. And that's something they thrived on. And during the latter Cold War period, when the Soviet Union had collapsed, China was not yet perceived as much of a threat as it is today. We saw even President George W. Bush trying to mythologize and elevate Al-Qaeda, for example, and Osama bin Laden to superpower status. So we had the war on terror. I mean, we thrive on this terror and fear, and this is what mobilizes us, rather than any sense of independent grandeur or destiny for the West. We've lost that sense of destiny, but it's largely mythologized. And you and I have been talking about this for a couple of decades, really, about why the PRC is not going to make that cut. It's largely particularly since 2012, stopped making good economic decisions. It's also put a lot of money into the People's Liberation Army, but it's not going anywhere. It doesn't show any capabilities in the real world. You've got a lot of drum beats and chest thumping and blustering and what they call wolf warrior diplomacy, but it's not really convincing. And then, as we've discussed, People's Republic of China has failed to get the necessary energy to lift off into that superpower class. So we now witness the People's Republic of China and the CCP in decline, obviously fighting that. They've been betrayed by Xi Jinping, who didn't understand and didn't care about economics.
Let's go to that trend, Gregory, right away. General Secretary Xi Jinping, outmaneuvered by whom and what comes next?
Well, he's been outmaneuvered by his own neglect of the priorities of Chinese life. And as a result, when he was so busy trying to eliminate all of his enemies within the Politburo, within the standing committees and the like, he eliminated a lot of people. But in so doing, he turned literally everybody against him. There's no real cadre of support for Xi Jinping left anymore. And even the late coming China watchers are now saying, well, Xi Jinping is finished. It's quite clear there's a debate or a struggle as to how he is contained and how he's replaced. He was allowed out on a leash by the CCP to go to Vietnam and Southeast Asia recently. It's a very short leash. He was given a nice big state welcome in Vietnam. But the reality is the Vietnamese don't like him. They haven't changed their opinion. They haven't changed their mind about doing deals with the United States, particularly on the tariffs, but also on trying to gain U.S. investment in Vietnam and to make Vietnam a key ally of the United States in Southeast Asia. So the question is, how long is she kept there in a token leadership position? He's already contained. He's already unable to make most key decisions. He was wheeled out for this Southeast Asia visit in the recent days. But it's not meaningful. It's, again, using bellicosity to say we're still here, the same way that the Chinese used warships to start big exercises against Taiwan recently, had to cut them off after 2 days because they couldn't sustain that momentum and the Chinese military leadership wasn't present at them. They ran a small squadron of two warships and a support vessel around Australia to basically show that they could intimidate Australia and have live fire exercises in international waters way off the coasts of Australia and New Zealand. It caused headlines, but it's a hollow threat.
What about Belt and Road, Gregory? Belt and Road was Xi Jinping. Is that standing up?
No, it's finished. They can't fund any of it anymore. As a result, the PRC is doing very little anywhere in the world with the Belt and Road Initiative. Even that was evidence literally a couple of years ago that they'd run. In fact, they ran out of funding for the Belt and Road Initiative by about 2016 or so. So it's been a paper tiger, doing deals without any substance to them, putting out pocket change to influence individual politicians in some of the smaller Pacific Island states, but not really having any effect. The problem is that all of this is showing the great weakness and instability within the CCP, within the People's Liberation Army, and with the volatility of the mainland Chinese population. And that is an unstable situation. The question is, if she tries to break out of the capture, which he's now in, or the CCP itself tries to do something, what can they do which is not going to be disastrous for them? They can't really start a war with Taiwan.
The People's Liberation Army, very large, builds ships very quickly, matches plane for fifth generation, even experimenting with sixth. Recently, though, the news came unannounced, but then again it was featured in the FT, that the number two at the PLA had been purged. This following weeks before, commissars, the head of the PLA police, the number one or number two at the PLA Navy, all these purges. These were Xi's choice. These were not imposed upon him. He's been in there for more than 10 years, and now they're purged. What does that tell us about the PLA?
Well, it shows you that the support base which Xi thought he was building in the PLA has been taken away from him by the rest of the CCP. So in other words, he thinks he's got a power base. Boom, they demonstrate to him that it's gone. He's also just recently, apart from losing hundreds of senior PLA officials, he's also lost control of the appointments of senior officials the CCP took that away from him. So he's literally lost much of his power.
I have a puzzle for you, Gregory, because I hear other things and I read them in the newspaper. Why is it that there's the interpretation that she removed these men he chose in these positions? Why do they build him up to say he's all powerful, he can make a choice, make a change and not weaken himself?
Well, the reality is that he didn't make those choices.
Right.
They were made for him. But it's almost a way of mocking him, really. It's like saying, well, you know, the chairman has dispensed with his own elite Praetorian Guard. And the reality is that he's now going nowhere. The question is, within the CCP leadership, is who replaces Xi. And there are a number of competitors just starting to come out of the woodwork now. Too early to really put the finger on some of them, but they're maneuvering well and truly now.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, talking about the three trends that are in place. Xi Jinping, the economy of the PRC, and the People's Liberation Army. We're going to turn next to what is to be done, something called the Defense Industrial Base Worldwide. This is CBS Eye on the World with Gregory Copley. I'm John Bashan.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.